All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Deep Thoughts. Welcome back to the classic, excellent audio techniques. So just to kind of bring you up to date on the show and how I put it together. So I used to record on my old Mac laptop. Then it got patched so many times by Apple with their little technique of not compiling for the native processor so that your computer gets really slow. So it started slowing down. The audio was way behind the video. And then I started recording on my Windows machine. A very similar situation where it just got a little slow. So now I got a brand new Windows machine, the G7 Dell. And so hopefully this will keep everything on track. Got nothing else going on the computer. And so it should be recording beautifully. So today I wanted to go into NASA again, because I know that a lot of you really love that subject matter, and so do I. They've laid pretty low, you know, recently. But I'm always thinking about them. I'm always thinking about, geez. It's sort of like a positive-negative thing, right? Very interesting subject matter. I wouldn't say, unless we know about some Earth-killing situation, it's not as important as other things going on in the world. And, you know, I think most of us sit around and we just think, you know, when is this going to end? Right? When is the lie going to end? Who's going to blow the frickin' whistle? A lot of people have. And what's interesting about today, of course, is that someone could walk out and tell the world anything that's true. And nobody wants to listen. And you would think that, okay, oh, well, maybe the MSM doesn't cover it, but we're going to get a million people to march on D.C. yelling and chanting the truth. Or in New York City or L.A. or San Francisco. Doesn't matter anymore, does it? Doesn't matter. We could have 50 million people yelling the truth. The people that are in Stockholm Syndrome are never going to see it. Because it is imperative for their survival to never acknowledge reality. And those are the exact people that become our politicians. Some become police officers. A ton of them run corporations. Almost all of them work for the media. As Rod Serling said, they're pre-censored. They make sure that the people that you hire believe all the BS that you're pushing. Hey, man, it's a brilliant idea. You don't have to indoctrinate anyone. You don't have to worry about them getting red-pilled. And what's interesting is the more disenfranchised the human being is, meaning they're ostracized from society. Maybe they're overweight, or they were overweight, or they just didn't get as pretty as magazines, or a guy lost all of his hair, or whatever. The more disenfranchised, they know that that makes you more susceptible to being a psychopathic, sociopathic, Stockholm Syndrome mockingbird that'll just keep this kind of stuff going forever. But this episode, I want to talk about the phenomenon that I think will probably be the undoing of NASA minus a cataclysmic reset, which I'm pretty sure is about to occur either one way or another. Imagine telling a big giant lie. And I think that almost every single person in this world who's probably hit 30 has experienced a person like this. It's a gigantic lie that requires more and more and more lying. There was a character, what is it, John Lovett's character. He used to lie. Was it Flanagan or something like that was his name? And he would just keep making up everything. Well, you know, eventually it's going to get called. And there's the whole analogy of painting yourself into a corner. You know, and I created the intro to the show. A ton of you don't know that that's the set of 2001 A Space Odyssey inside the Jupiter EVA pod bay. I'll show it to people and they'll go, oh, that's wicked, man. Is that a trash compactor? Is that a Star Wars thing? No, sweetheart. It's Stanley Kubrick and friends. But I went in there and had to replicate that room. And it's never been done to that level of detail, minus 2010 and the OG set. I looked all over the place for months and months and months. Now, imagine you're NASA. Now, when NASA faked their Viking Mars mission, which had so many human errors in the photography, that now when they have photos of human shadows in the shots, they're trying to pawn it off that is proof that aliens were standing there watching the thing. Hilarious, man. Okay. But the moon missions are really an infinite problem for NASA. Infinite problem for NASA. There's supposedly six sites up there. Six four-legged kickstands. Of course, the top module's gone. There are, let's see, 15, 16, 17, so there's three rovers up there, supposedly. There's flags. There's all kinds of equipment up there. From solar panels to posts in the ground. But they faked every element of that journey, didn't they? They faked every grain of sand on the ground, every rock, every mountain, mountains that were used between two different sets used between two different missions. I should say missions. So two mountains and two missions, two sets and two missions. One, they simply threw down more rock on top of the previous set. Absolutely hilarious. There's some great videos out there showing you the before and afters of these missions. All right, well, you know, why don't we have stars in any of the shots that NASA fakes that are like space station stuff? Well, it's because they are doing this in a warehouse of some sort. Could be underwater warehouse where you get a lot of stuff flies in the water, and these guys will make these videos going, NASA has a UFO that changed directions and all this other stuff. No. NASA Jim Bob, the consummate lying astronaut, dropped something, and what it was going towards this LED screen or whatever rear projection screen that is the simulation of Earth. There's probably a jet, a current of water that's pushing that thing in a different direction, so then it goes towards Earth and bounces off. It's just a water jetty thing, right? That's probably what that is. Because, I mean, you know, of all the debris we see that's in front of these spacewalks or whatever, these missions outside the space station, we would have UFOs, we would have a bunch of stuff, but if it's a bunch of anomalies, well, then we just have fun with it. But they don't try to fake the stars, because if you had a square box or even a round box or an octagon box and you print the stars on the sky, or you try to do blue screen. Problem blue screen and blackness is that you have to light the blue screen. You're going to get a bunch of light splashing everywhere. So you're going to have to do something. Project it. Second, there's a second of distortion. Because you have the perspective of the lens is frustrum. And then you have the nature of its distortion within the lens itself. Is it a 20mm lens, 50mm lens? It's an impossible thing, which is why they never try, which is why you don't see any stars in space. Unless they're doing some Sophia shot that they're going to say is a Hubble shot. Okay. The moon missions, 13, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, all landed on the moon, all took pictures, except 17 was a catastrophe. Now, I'm sure NASA's come up with some, will come up with some BS story as to why what I'm about to say won't be an issue. Because, again, they can just make stuff up. Gravity is a phenomenon, but we know exactly how it works. And that's kind of true. We know how it works, but they don't know what it is. Okay. Black holes and dark matter. It's just you're being stuffed like a turkey, man. Except, yeah, I guess it's the same orifice. But every single pebble rock is accounted for. According to their science, which some of this might be true, the tripod spots on the ground should still be there, right? Or a little post pod, you know? And you go out there and you, just like Indiana Jones, right? He puts the staff in, and he has the emerald and the thing, and then the light comes through the hole and boom, he knows where to go. Snakes. Well, we should be able to take photographs towards, from to, right? And we should be able to see every single tiny rock where it is. Should be identical, which means they're going to have to create that set over again. On the moon this time, though. Like, if they're really going to try to get there, and they did get there, they're going to do crap like they did with Mars. Land in nowhere meant land locations. And even though they've given us this reconnaissance photographs of Mars, which makes it look more intense than any sci-fi novel cover you've ever seen painted on a paperback book, they never, ever drive to those locations. None of the pyramids, not that huge gash down the center, which is just so phenomenally stupid that they put that stuff in there. You know, scientists drew Mars for a really long time. Galileo, they believe, was one of the first ones that drew pictures of it. I just watched a Twilight Zone where there's a mission to Mars. It has the actor that plays Cornelius in the original Planet of the Apes. But they're going towards Mars in the first 5 minutes of this episode. And what Hollywood did for this shot was that they zoomed up the best shot that we had of Mars at the time, which is a very different looking thing than anything that we have now. Yeah, of course the optics have become tremendously better, but you can't be looking at, let's just say they were looking at us. You can't be looking at this blue marble in the sky with tons of ocean, tons of land, swirling clouds, and that's what they see with their telescopes. But if Mars was to fake a mission to Earth with the same ineptitude that NASA has for faking its missions to Mars, then by the time they get here, it's like, what, a rust ball? A purple planet? I mean, it doesn't look anything like what they see in the optics. So somebody wanted to make it look sexy. And what's really fascinating, I made an analogy a couple episodes back using Dungeons and Dragons as an analogy. What's fascinating about this process is that when we used to role play, somebody would be dreaming up a continent, just like World of Warcraft has. And you get to determine if that's a lagoon, if that's a mountainscape, if that's a valley, a lake, or whatever. You determine what monsters are in general regions, where a boss lives, where a dragon lives. And you're making it up, and the more detail you put into it, the better your gaming will be forever. And what's fascinating about it is that you'll watch a person do that, and you'll be like, okay, all right, kind of looks corny, whatever. But then when the game starts, and you start living every split second of the detail, it's amazing how your brain starts to see that map as the holy grail of existence. Okay, where are we? Where's the next town over? I got to get healed up. I got my arm got sliced, you know, da 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 da. So you just role play right into it. Any of you have role played, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So they create this multi-billion dollar map of the surface of Mars based on products like Terrigen. Okay, now we're playing a game. You launch a rocket out of sight, out of mind, Then 6 months later, you bill us tens of billions of dollars into your black op projects, into the pockets of generals and politicians and corrupt individuals. Of course, paying off the top athletes so that they don't reveal the fact that every sports game for the last 40 years has been fixed at the championship level. You ever wonder why a quarterback makes a ridiculous amount of money? You know, the whole idea is if all the teams just got together and said, okay, we're not paying $150 million, $300 million, billion dollars for a quarterback. And then you tell every football player, all right, this is a new thing. There's a $10 million cap on all of your salaries, down from hundreds of millions of dollars down to $10 million a year. That's all you can ever make, tops. Do you not want to play football anymore? Do you not want to make the $10 million anymore? I know yesterday it was $100 million. Today it's only $10 million. Do you not want the money? You're going to quit? Because there's someone else who's going to take your spot in 2 seconds. It's really funny. But here's what this episode is aiming at. They are lying so much, so often. I think it's going to break. And we can try to bail them out in our brains with hypotheticals of which we have no knowledge, which is, oh, they have technology so much more powerful than what they're showing you. I fucking hate that excuse. Let's just break the cap on this one. That is just like hocus pocus religious crap. Oh, we got, well, yeah, of course they got a little bit of technology way over. They still couldn't cover 9/11 without leaving, you know, brown stains in their pants. All these mass shootings they organize. Just tons of mistakes. But no, they have, yeah, they've got time travel, Project Looking Glass, and all this other stuff. It's like, again, it's almost like it's, if you're red-pilled, you should be in the battle of all truths. And red pills should be swallowed against religion, should be swallowed against everything. It doesn't mean you have to remove the paradigm of learning and beauty. But you should acknowledge this probably isn't real. You should be able to have those kind of balls, okay? And what's amazing to me is that you see a huge wing of red pills that are completely delusional in a different direction. So if we are the red pill, then we have to be 100%, not 50%. Because the other side, the blue pill, is 100% cognitive dissonance, 100% nothing is real that they believe, including their own self-image, at a detriment to society. But NASA's going to lie so much that something's going to be due, a mission's going to be due, and they're not going to have it. Then what happens? Well, we're not NASA, so we don't know. For those of you who've done your research on the Challenger explosion and the fact that we believe we have discovered that, was it 6 of the 7 astronauts are still alive and well on planet Earth, all with these hokey lies about being literally the, beer fest landfill twin of the person who died. I took my brother's name because I wanted to honor him. I just happen to look exactly like him. And by the way, I've never seen so many Madagascar twins on one mission in my life. Right? Those are the super identical ones. Unbelievable. So there may be a situation where they can get a bunch of crisis actors, a bunch of people that are going to sacrifice their public identities in the name of a failed mission to delay and create some stalling time for NASA. And what am I talking about here? Well, let's say we're supposed to go back to the moon, but we've never been there. All these space maneuvers, engines that don't work in a vacuum, you know, these space maneuvers that you could never test. You couldn't possibly test one of these maneuvers unless you were there. And that's a hell of a thing to ask a person to do. Hey, we don't know if these engines work in space. I mean, pushing off of nothing usually doesn't do anything. But I want you to rely 100% on this idea, this this fire engine on a cone is going to work in space. But if it doesn't, then you're just kind of stuck in space. And you'll eventually crash to the surface of the moon due to just orbital gravity diminishing. You okay with that? Oh, yeah, totally, right. Now, today we could remote control a vehicle to test this kind of thing out. But we didn't do that back in those days. We had guys on joysticks back in the day. Had they not killed off Nikola Tesla's information, 69 would have been a lot better for them. So they send someone up and they do a sacrificial lamb situation. Either, again, they don't really send the astronauts. They've got some Hollywood trickery going on, some Chris Angel stuff. So they send a vehicle into space. And let's just say they could get past the Van Allen belts, which I don't think they can. Whoever goes up is never coming down alive. Now, if NASA knows that that's what they're going to do, then they can pre-plan the whole thing to never send anybody inside the vehicle. They have some choices. Do they tell the astronauts that they're going to be in a real high-risk situation and really kill them? Do they just blow up on the tarmac? Do they get into space? I mean, what do they do? What if they send them to surgery camp and redo their faces? Witness relocation sort of stuff. A little, was it Breaking Bad kind of stuff, right? Or Better Call Saul stuff. They pay a guy to make you disappear. Because then, you know, they just report. They take it on the chin. Oh, and they're going to have all their excuses pre-planned. Okay, well, what can we do? Okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reduce your budget. And then you're going to try to build a rocket. Remember the 98 crash that we blamed on metric to imperial conversions? Because we never test anything in an ISO 9000 environment. We don't test the software talking to software. So we can probably pull that old play out of the playbook from 98. And then it won't necessarily be your fault. It'll be the government fault because the government's such a big pig. And no one ever goes to jail in the government. And no one ever wins a case against the government, then we're legally immune. There's indemnification legally from whatever happens. I mean, screw these sheep anyway. They're just ready for the slaughter as it is. And then what I'll do is I'll ramp up your funding beyond what it was before I reduced it, so you'll make back the cash you were missing. And then you can spend like crazy for 10 years to make sure that the next mission, of which you and I will not be in power at the time, can do whatever it can do. They get ahead of this stuff. They plan stuff. But again, if you could go first time, I mean, my God, first time in 1969 with, you know, a ColecoVision had more horsepower than the freaking Apollo 11 lunar module and service module. It's not even a joke. The VIC-20, which had 5K of RAM. I don't even think it had a megahertz of processing power. It was more powerful than the Apollo 11. What I don't want to see is more Gus Grissom kind of stuff. In order to get out of the lie, the beast attacks and creates a catastrophe. And with SpaceX off to the side and NASA not stepping aside, it's very interesting. Space Force is now a military division. That's good. Which means JPL and NASA no longer have any charter for military assistance. SpaceX is going to provide the military assistance. You want to launch a satellite? Well, there's your Falcon 9 or whatever you want to do. What is NASA now? An asteroid hopper? Consequently, you know, a buddy of mine and a few of you text me and said, hey, did you see the fact that NASA said they landed not necessarily a rover, but a unit on an asteroid? I said, yeah, you know, I saw that. And what's interesting about it is, again, almost no one does any detective work. Go back and look up from the very, very beginning the asteroid photographs that they have of flybys, of landing probes on asteroids, download the entire history of photographs of these events. Then, look up 3D rendering packages, Lightwave, Maya, probably even Blender, but a few other products out there, Cinema 4D, and look up asteroid 3D modeling. And try to pay heavy attention to what year the asteroids have been created. So if you have a mission where, say, NASA said they flew by an asteroid in 1996, go out and try to find a 3D product that existed in 1996, and then look up an asteroid being created in that product in 1996. You will see every anomaly in creating asteroids in 3D rendering packages in NASA's photographs. I sit and watch tutorials every day of my life, and there's very few folks that really pay attention to asteroid creation anymore. But surface texturing with chaos, noise algorithms, displacement maps, bump maps. When I saw the latest versions, they were so over-engineered to look asteroidy. It was hilarious. And considering all the other asteroids that I've seen prior had all kinds of texture UV map stretching. And what is that? Well, imagine you had a checkerboard. I'll actually put this in the video so you can see it. You had a checkered tablecloth, and you lay it on a plane. It's about like a tabletop, right? Well, as long as the proportion of the tabletop is in direct proportion to the graphic you're going to put on top of that tabletop, it's going to be perfect squares everywhere you put it, right? But now what if your tabletop's made of like cellophane or a rubber, and then you print on it a checkerboard. And then like silly putty, you start adjusting the plane shape. What ends up happening is you start stretching the squares on top of a surface, so it doesn't look right. And what you should be doing is, as soon as you've got the table to the shape you want, you repaint it with whatever shader you want / texture, and you'll get it all perfect. The classic thing I kept seeing from 1995 till probably 2010, if not even after that, was that every asteroid we got in from NASA had 3D anomalies, and they'll tell you it's some BS about, you know, well, these are composite photographs taken by a reconnaissance satellite, and it's like, no. If you can land a probe on an asteroid, you are going to get gorgeous shots. If you can't, what's the point of you being there in the first place? I mean, think about it. If you built a little arm that reaches out and, you know, like E.T. and scrapes the ground and grabs some stuff, that's actually difficult. But a camera and a lens, and you just like Formula One, you know, where they have the little fisheye thing that protects the lens against all kinds of flying debris. It just keeps rotating around the lens to keep it clean. I mean, how brand is that little mechanism? Well, that's exactly what you put on a satellite. And you're NASA, so you're not going to get some 2K camera. You should probably be looking at 4 to 8K cameras. This is real important, you know. Oh, you know, we can't do that. Why? Because that costs $10,000. How much is a satellite? $900 million? Oh, well, yeah, you're right. The extra $10,000 for that other thing would be really rough. And again, not to mention the fact that the extreme conditions that these vehicles are enduring supposedly would probably end up with their complete demise, right? You would have to build the electronics out of, you know, lead-encased enclosures or Faraday's-encased enclosures and hope that the electromagnetic fields that you bump into are more of a constant circuit, you know, a constant voltage amperage, because then the Faraday effect doesn't work at all. The extreme temperatures of being in the sun and being nearly 300 degrees Fahrenheit, and then if you go in the shadows, you're nearly 300 below. You know, it's estimated somewhere between 250 and 280. Okay, well, that ruptures metals. That ruptures plastics. It melts glass. About 3 years ago, I was involved in my own little startup, and it was all about getting rid of the VR goggles and creating immersive LED, 3D, high-def, sub-millimeter experiences. Meaning Live Nation is about 6mm light brights, and our stuff was 0.95, and the most photoreal 3D you've ever seen in your life. And we were contacted by this company called Jaunt. And I don't think they're making this anymore. If they are, it's a secret little weapon of their own. But they created this pumpkin camera that is, it is crazy. It looks like the head of the insectoid thing from Matrix 1999, you know, the one that flew around like the octopus thing. It's got like 16 cameras on it. Every one of them shoots like 2 to 4K a pop. And then it stitches it all together horizontally, vertically, and it creates the most high definition thing you've ever seen in your life in full 3D VR. And they told me that just running the camera requires a coolant system inside, because the heat from all the CCDs capturing the images through the lenses and the power supply and the circuitry, it heats up and cools down so much that they have to actually mathematically track each region of the camera and the heat around the lens. Because if they don't, that heat and cold distorts the lens and thus distorts the image. So what they do is they track it and they mathematically unfold and correct for distortion within the finished product digitally. I mean, it's ingenious. They were so ahead of everybody else, it was crazy. So when I think about all these cameras that all we need is a 16x9 4K camera on a reconnaissance probe or whatever, and we never get them. But we do have this odd situation. I mean, things are shaken up in the space industry, and no one seems to be crapping all over themselves as if there's a secondary plan being put in place. Again, SpaceX just shows up about 15 years ago, starts accomplishing the impossible. They still perform a ton of tasks, which I believe that they perform a ton of things, or claim a ton of things, I should say, and don't invite the public to it. Landing these boosters on barges in the ocean. You notice they haven't done that in a while. Landing them back at Cape Canaveral in Florida, but no one's allowed to see it, but they'll show it to you. Hiring a bunch of these millennial mouth breathers to sit there and clap like they're on some game show with the sign saying applaud now. Just Hollywood, Hollywood, Hollywood. So you're seeing idiocracy within the space program. There's nothing more idiocracy than SpaceX. As much as the left loves to use that against the conservatives, it's so funny. It's like, hey liberals, that movie's about you. FYI, right? But if you just took a bunch of the shots from real SpaceX missions, launches, and you just spliced it right into Idiocracy with a little bit of coloring adjustments, up the vibrance, you wouldn't know it was being inserted. It would just match perfectly with the movie. The other side of it is Space Force, of which we've heard its formation. We know it's been funded to the first degree. I personally haven't seen any, you know, true milestones come out of it. I don't know if they considered supersonic missiles or hypersonic missiles a part of NASA Space Force. Space Force. Dominating space was a huge agenda of the 80s. And what's interesting is I've told you guys about my private information from the 80s. You know, they complete Star Wars, they launch it in about 87, and then they tell the public that it was going so over budget that they didn't do it in like 88. Truth is, they finished it, and there are several platforms that they have created to neutralize any nuclear threat to the United States of America. Except for nowadays, the group that created that is the group that's trying to destroy our country, so we no longer have an ally there. But I was just watching a YouTube video, which I believe was Dark Five or Dark Documents, and sure enough, the delivery system that I talked about in my last mention of this is exactly what was demonstrated on video on YouTube, which is one of the delivery mechanisms to create a missile shield is to have satellites drop out of the bay of a bomber and then just blast straight up into orbit and take out a few of them. They also have missiles that travel on the belly of fighter jets that also can take out one or two at a time. So we've got SpaceX, which is more like the Buck Rogers Idiocracy version of it. We have Space Force, which is still very shrouded. And then we have the old dog, NASA and Jack Parsons Laboratory. Okay. We still have rovers being landed supposedly on Mars. Perseverance on its way. Oddly, they told us that the last two rovers were only going to last for 11 months, and now we're going on 17 years, or 18 years, or 19 years, depending on which one you're talking about. You know, these solar panel laden rovers. I heard another ludicrous thing the other day, and it's just like, I think it's amazing when we debunk, ridiculous ideas about what could be the truth, and then someone steps up to the comments and says an even more ludicrous idea. And it's not that they made it up or anything. They're just trying to be helpful. But, my advice is to stop, pause, and think about it. I've seen this, what I'm about to say, I've seen it 20 times in magazines and videos and conversations with people, that the little wings that are on the first rovers and from 2001 to 2003, that they actually saved up the energy and vibrated to shake the dust off the solar panels. And this is a planet which has sandstorms that make Saudi Arabia's sandstorms look like a picnic, man. So the amount of metric tons that is moved on this planet, according to NASA, is astronomical. In fact, the storms that are supposed to be occurring on Mars should absolutely physically obliterate these rovers. And there is no place on the entire planet's surface that you're going to be immune from this. But the last version I've heard was that they actually use some sort of electricity to repel the dust off of the solar panels. What do we know about dust and electricity, folks? Right? What is the reality of electricity moving in any one vector? It's got an electromagnetic pole around it. And it will perhaps eject a little bit off one side of the pole, but as it slams back down the other side of the pole, you're going to get dirt glued to this thing. Electricity would be the worst technique to get rid of iron fibers. Okay, this is supposed to be an iron dust rust bowl, and you're going to use electricity to push things away. Again, go look up solar farms in the old good old United States of America. And they're actually really therapeutic and fun to watch. But there are videos that show how they clean these gigantic solar panel farms out in the desert. And if either one of the techniques worked that we just discussed, then that's what they would be doing, because they have to get out these big giant cleaners. Big sudsy things, and they have big water hoses coming up, like fire hydrant water hoses, and they soap it all up, and then they clean it all off, and it's all has to be meticulously done because they can't scratch the surface, the protective layer between the external world and the actual photoelectric receivers. Okay, it's a big deal, man. But what is the next big thing? Are they going to try it through a SpaceX? Are they going to try it through a moon mission? What if Elon Musk knows what's going to happen in the next 10 years? And, you know, Agenda 21 with all the moron COVID people are going to just sell the world to the devil men. They're just going to get rid of it. And as they make things tougher and tougher and tougher, they make a bunch of citizens that are just broken. You know, if you can't beat them, join them sort of thing. And they're just sitting there broken. All right, screw it. Yeah, whatever. Instead of fighting for the world's existence, we all just capitulate. And then Elon Musk is laughing his ass off. Maybe he's not even on the list. Maybe they've told him he's on the list. The list of people who will be left over after all this chaos ends, right? You could promise the world if you knew the world wasn't going to exist by the time your promise had to be fulfilled. It's a weird thing, isn't it? Isn't it a weird, trippy thing of like saying, and I'm sure that you probably know some people who've done it, or you've had it done to you, or maybe you've done it to somebody else. But, you know, let's say you're going to skip town on your girlfriend or whatever, your boyfriend or whatever, because you're going to run off with your long-lost love, or for whatever reason, you got to go someplace else, and you're going to take off on Friday afternoon, so you promise them the best weekend of their life. You tell them you're going to do a bunch of things that you never do. And they just have, oh man, they're in heaven. And then Friday night comes around and you don't show up because you're gone. I feel like that's what's going on. Friday night is 2029. Is the world not utterly nuts right now? These lockdowns. I mean, it is really bizarre. It is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my fucking life. You know, it's almost like you're about to get mugged in New York City or LA or San Francisco, most likely San Francisco, and you got some big giant person in front of you that wants what you have, right? The lockdown works like this. The little tiny scrawny nerd goes, put your hands behind your back, citizen arrest, and the dude does it. And you're looking at this thing from afar going, what? You could kill this guy with your bare hands. What are you doing? Well, he told me to put my hands behind my back, so I'm going to do it because I'm going to wait to get arrested and go to jail for a couple of years. They're telling you to give up all your sovereignty. NASA has become chump change in terms of its lies, hasn't it? In terms of the moon missions, who gives a crap about the moon missions, right? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the moon missions that are supposed to be coming up in 4 years. Nobody cares. Do you realize if I didn't have this show, I don't think a single person on Earth would have called me or told me that the moon missions were rescheduled by NASA by 2024. I don't think anyone in my personal life has said anything about it. Or if they have, they have only said it once. And that's it. Unbelievable. Now you might say, well, yeah, well, whatever. Who cares? We got much bigger fish to fry. Don't disagree. But now let's think about it. We've got man's greatest accomplishments go something like this. Fire the wheel, getting to the moon. And somewhere the pyramids are in there. Right. So we're talking about one of man's greatest accomplishments, and it's turned into a giant lie, which means, I mean, we know we'll never find out when man first created fire, like created it completely from scratch, and we won't know the very first time man ever created a wheel. But I was hoping that having video and, you know, a 4K camera in everyone's telephone. Look how many cameras are in the world now. Apple just crossed 1 billion iPhones. Well, they, since, I guess, what, 2009 at least, because that came out in 2007, We've had cameras on both sides. So if there's a billion cell phones out there, and we know there's like probably five, multiplied times two, and we still won't be able to know when man first landed on the moon. So it's interesting, you know, here we are thinking to ourselves, we're going to really nail the future. Look at us, tink, tink, tink. And we're not going to do it. But I also want to mention something about the moon that is actually overlooked, I think, by most folks. Perhaps not you guys. Considering that we've never set foot on the moon. We've never done it. Our empirical knowledge of what that experience might be like is going to be, well, it's basically nothing. We know what color it is. It's about it. You know, you keep seeing this, these stupid videos of like, oh, there was an impact on the surface of the moon. And they'll show you this white dot that showed up on the moon's surface, and they call that a meteor impact. Now, there's probably other better versions of this. But that's not it. That's plasma leaking out from the inside at the center of a crater. That is why the moon is pockmarked like crazy with craters. Now let me throw you a mix between the ancient Egypt or ancient mindsets episode and this episode. What if, and I believe there's even a Space 1999 episode that has something like this, but what if any metal that gets close to the moon's surface, because we don't get that, right? Even if there's an asteroid, it could be iron. But you put some complex lunar module close to the surface of the moon, and because there are so many craters, volcanic craters, not meteorite craters, remember they're all round. Every crater on the moon is round, which means they can't be from outer space. They have to be the boiling surface of the sun, or the surface, which I think it might be an old sun. But you get close, and now all of a sudden, there's an electrical relationship between your vehicle and the surface, and it starts to just arc to you like lightning. It's looking for a path of least resistance, and here you come. And you've got electronics on your ship, too. And you get utterly vaporized because you're turning into a resistor. Or a capacitor, right? What's interesting about government agencies, and this is, again, one reason why we want government to be as small as it possibly can, is that you can't touch it because it's like a pharmaceutical company or a food company giving you cancer over the course of, say, 20 years, right? So if you ate thousands of meals of different sorts from different restaurants, but one of the restaurants secretly had an ingredient like, say, the shoe glue that's in Subway sandwiches, or if you read the little sticker on the McDonald's drive-thru, it tells you that their food causes cancer. You fill up at a gas station, they say the fumes can give you cancer if you sit there and breathe them. All right, so you get cancer, and you can't sue anybody. You can't hold anyone liable for poisoning you without something really acute occurring, like, say, glyphosate from Roundup. So there's a bit of an identification through organization with NASA. They're just so big. What are you gonna do? You don't have enough money to sue an organization like that. Not even if you were Elon Musk could you sue NASA. And you were gonna liquidate all of your cash. Government's got more. And how does that work? Let's just say every senator in some top clearance level knows that NASA is a bunch of bullshit, and so they know that they have also presided over budget approvals to keep this facade going. All right, and here comes a big lawsuit because somebody wants to take them down. They're just going to, you think that TARP money was easy to vote for? You think this aid for COVID's easy to pay for? Any money needed to beat your ass, it's probably Seth Richey, right? The Democrats will hire MS-13 and have you murdered. Because they cannot be liable. And this will be both parties. This will be a bipartisan fraud on the American people. So the only thing that's going to force NASA's hand, minus a huge leak, and then we know that through, you know, this evidence on Hunter Biden and his dad, I hate to date the episode, but it's very legitimate, it's very real. No one seems to care. They just ignore it. Social media, big tech, censors the shit out of it, so you never get a chance to read it. The family that's actually having done this just denies it. And that's just like a little tiny, you know, collection of a brother and a son and what have you. And it's absolute treason. But you just deny it and you're okay. Think about trying to go after NASA. So time's going to force their hand, for sure. But if you ever thought Agenda 21 was beyond practical, beyond capable, just open your eyes in October 2020. Just open your eyes and look around and tell me that with these tier 2 lockdowns that are going on in Europe, that this is anything other than destiny for mankind, because no one's got the balls to stand up. Was it Miss Kassbacher in the first Superman? When she takes the kryptonite off of Christopher Reeve's neck, and she says, "You got to save my mom first, then you can do whatever else you want second." Nope. Because of some super bad apples, you may not be alive in 10 years. And it doesn't matter what age you are, how healthy you are, or what plans you thought you were going to have, or whether or not Donald Trump gets reelected, or Q is real, or Q is fake. This is huge. And then it sort of makes these subject matters, whatever. Moon, schmoon, whatever. Are we going to be around? By the way, if you haven't seen the Living the Dream episode by Five Finger Death Punch, man, you've got to see it. It is the anthem for the world. They're going to lie for as long as they can. And you know why? It's free money. Think about the reason why the world sucks. It's because human beings are lazy pieces of shit. They never want to do anything. They don't take care of their temple, that is their body. They don't take care of their mind, which is their, their construct between their soul and their body. And then, to make matters worse, they turn it around on you, perhaps, if you get smart, you get intelligent, you care, then you're the problem. Now, hopefully you've trimmed your friends and family to the point that you really don't experience that very often unless you just meet a stranger and happen to strike up a conversation. I've had to prune my existence for the last 10 years. And what's interesting about it is there's all kinds of things that we do that get us over the barrel in terms of commitment. Now, how many times have you ever played a video on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, and you have this subconscious feeling, well, I got to finish it. You may have curiosities that there's something at the end. But even with nothing going on, it's some stupid, interview between two people. It's even repetitious in your repertoire of information, and you'll sit there and listen to it. And it's sort of out of guilt. And so the idea is, screw that, man. Turn it off. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do, especially if it will have marginal returns for you. Here's what I'm curious about. We all know people, don't we? At any one point in time, I think that in America, almost like the Kevin Bacon game, I think almost everyone who hits, again, say 30 to 40 years old, will have a first-degree NASA employee friend, a first-degree SpaceX friend, at a stretch, maybe second degree. Probably goes for JPL as well. And it seems like we could get somebody to confess something. Very interesting. Because there always are, I'll give you an example in a second here. There's always an Achilles heel to every organization on Earth. There always is. Sometimes it's very minimal. But here's your example. We know that a lot of powerful people meet once a year in various locations, various times. And a lot of us feel like if you could just eliminate that old guard, yes, there'll be a new group of people attempting to take their spot, but it's a bit like ISIS. It's a lot easier to find someone trying to take the replacement spot than it is the initial spot, to get the initial strike. What keeps us from lynching these people, from finding them and getting rid of them? Now you could do whatever you want with your definition to get rid of, put them in a hole, cut their heads off, whatever. That's up to the public. But the only thing that's between the public and these people going down are the people that protect them. Old institutions that should be long gone. Fairy tale stuff, right? I mean, how many times have you met an adult that still lives in a fairy tale land, you know? Still, I mean, again, in the last 5 years, I met someone who still had their blankie from when they were a little kid. And it was this disgusting mangled spaghetti of string. And it was like, what is wrong with you? You have four kids and you're still hugging this blankie. Go see a doctor, man. You know, children raising children. It's just insane. And it doesn't matter if your feelings are fucking hurt, man. You're not an adult. It's like something's wrong with your brain. Something's mega wrong with your brain. But these Neanderthal mouth-breathing Secret Service guards or whatever, who don't think for themselves, who don't look at the Bilderberg Hotel and whichever one they're using that year and go, yeah, these people don't fight for freedom. I understand the Secret Service taking bullets in Scotland for Trump because this dude's like the first person fighting for freedom in Magna Carta / the Constitution in nearly a century. And I don't really consider myself left or right, man. I just want to watch 5 years of this show and you'll realize that it's all about do no harm. Which is why NASA stealing our money. And, you know, not even releasing a rumor about what that money might be spent for. You know, it's like if I were them, I'd run some weird, I'd create some conspiracy or something that said that, you know what NASA's really doing? They're saving kids in Ethiopia. I mean, something to at least sound good. I don't think we need to lie about military budgets anymore. The government can say hypersonic missiles. How much do you need? Half a trillion? There it is. We're just going to continue printing this crap anyway. And I do want to put a little footnote in about inflation and debt. How many of you know a person who bought a house, say, 50 years ago, and the whole house cost $35,000, even in Southern California, one right next to what I'm staring at the entire time I make all these shows? They told me they bought the house for $36,000 in 1965. All right, $36,000. I've had credit cards with more credit than that house is worth today. Well, that's how it works. Now we make an average of $120,000 a year in Southern California. So buying that house would be pocket change that could be collected theoretically over 1 year. I mean, really under a year. And then the other one that I'm going to make an episode about is debt to who? It's all imaginary. It's all in your brain. But I guess since we adhere to it, manipulating it and trafficking it is interesting. And so my thing is like this. We've got Space Force to do all the military things in space that we need. We have the military who might be entering space with hypersonic missiles. Let's say that that's still in a previous division of the military. Well, they're not going to have a problem getting money. All right. So where does all this money go? It goes to building more Hollywood props, more Hollywood technology, so they can continue milking us and continue milking us. And then for those of us, probably several of you who have been tracking some of the more insane stuff around the world, wouldn't you hate to find out that you went rah, rah, and this money's going off to someplace really dark? Isn't there a satellite array in the desert paid for by the Vatican called Project Lucifer because they call the sun Lucifer? Like, what? Why would that exist? What you looking for, old man? Mr. Red Shoe Poped Demon on your lapel, dude. So I want to make an episode just to kind of shake up our minds a little bit about when do we think that NASA's going to break? Time is the thing that just can't be slowed down. So that's one of the imperatives. So I think Trump might be playing them by getting them to commit to things. And then if they give excuses, he's a businessman, so he simply says, well, what do you need? And when they say, oh, we need more money, it's not funded properly, he goes, fine, you got your money. Now get to the moon again. Calling their bluff, calling their bluff. This COVID thing is going to be, is being used and will continue to be used to turn tyranny on exactly the way the kings and the queens of the world used to run the place 500 years ago. The reason why the United States of America exists was because of the Europeans at the time, which were us, screwed it up, screwed the pooch, got boiled in the frog boiler. And here we go again. If you go listen to my episode on Magna Carta. I apologize, it's in season one with the bad mic. There's an all new remastered one on the deepthoughtsradio.com website. But basically, they put together this constitution in about 1000 AD and said, you know, we're done with your shit, old man. You know, it was like King John or something. We're done with your shit, and we're not going to put up with it anymore. So here's some inalienable rights that God gives us. We've all agreed on it. If you don't agree to it, we're going to cut your head off. Oh, you know. But they let the weasel, the tyrannical weasel, stay in charge. That's the first mistake they made. So that dude dies off. And immediately his son starts taxing the people, which was not a violation of Magna Carta. And so they went to the son and they said, hey, what's up with all these taxes? He goes, well, you know, we just need taxes. You know, I might be willing to let go of some of these taxes as long as you get rid of this little thing and that little thing out of your Magna Carta. Sure enough, they bent over, took it up the hole, and lost it. Well, here we are. Here we are again. They phoned in a pandemic, which may or may not even exist. Now, it doesn't mean they're not spreading a bioweapon all over the place, right? China has people everywhere in the world. China is at war with everything that's not them, including Japan, South Korea, every place. There's no cousins that they care about. So they have agents in every single country. You think it's an issue for a Chinese person to spread it in South Italy? To spread it in America? Just rub it all over the rails at some public gathering? And believe me, there's plenty of Nancy Pelosi's out there that would gladly dump a vial in a subway. There just are. Because who benefits? They do. China benefits because they're pissed off that we turned on tariffs, so they're trying to kill us. God forbid you pay your fair share, right? God forbid you don't have slave labor. God forbid I practice Falun Gong. So this year and next year, it's real interesting. About 5 days, no matter what happens in America, George Soros will be masturbating, I'm sure, watching the unrest on election night. NASA stuff isn't that important right now. Some of you are interested in distracting yourself with it, and I'm one of them. It's interesting, with the changes of 2020, the likelihood that we will ever resolve NASA issues is diminishing by the second, because they're getting a big reset. With all of the surveillance deep-throating that the world is doing right now, think about it. You and I have enjoyed the notion that no one can come get us in America, at least. They're doing it in Britain like crazy. And Australia. Just express yourself, right? So here's the final statement from me on this issue. As much as we might fear tyranny getting the upper hand, because that's definitely where it's going, if we are able to fight back and, you know, curb stomp these POSs, and then we get access to stuff, because, you know, it's just like when Russia fell, those citizens went and raided KGB offices and looked through Rolodexes, there's videos of this, trying to find relatives that disappeared because the KGB came and got them in the communist country. Okay. So if we ever get a situation like that where we're able to get to information that we wouldn't normally get to because a revolution has occurred, put this on the list of would be really cool to know information. I think it'd be funny if Area 51 ever got raided truly like they were rumoring last year, and, you know, they find out there's just a bunch of Cordobas in hangars. It'd be really funny. But let's hope it's like Deus Ex and we find the gray alien laboratories. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this kind of meandering NASA episode. Again, really don't want to repeat myself for a while, at least, on the entire mission to the moon thing. But if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. That's where you can find all the links to video, to audio, for social media, all new remastered season one, a store, a couple ways to donate. Those of you who donated, thank you so much. You're in the credits. You're making it happen. Anyway, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you on the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.